Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie and Rex are brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer here with you. Jared Stillman, live from Radio Row today out at the Super Bowl down in New Orleans. Barry Trotz will join him at 4 o'clock, so an hour earlier than his weekly visit.
Okay.
Mad Dog Russo at 5 o'clock today. With Jared Stillman. What a combo.
Now, who are these Nashville Predators? Is this a arena football team?
Doc, can we get your thoughts on Tommy Novak, his third-line winger for the Predators?
Jared, get into some nitty-gritty Nashville sports questions.
Do you think Justin Barron has what it takes to develop into a good defenseman one day, Doc? Looking forward to that later today.
Yeah. Well, these Trotz interviews,
this one could be good.
These Trotz interviews are going to get interesting as we get down the stretch.
Yes, they are.
Barry, enjoy.
How many different ways you think? I was impressed by Stilly earlier this year. I think he found about 11 different ways in one interview to ask about Andrew Brunette's job earlier in the year. It was pretty good.
No, and as much as I have some fun with our friend Jared, he does a good job of those interviews.
He does. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm here for it.
Miles Garrett.
He does a good job in Hal Gale's shaming him, too, and telling him UC Saros is actually the best goalie in the league.
I did hear some of that. Miles Garrett is requesting a trade from the Cleveland Browns, Joe Rexroad. Miles Garrett, one of the best defensive players in the league. He has four consecutive seasons of 14 or more sacks. We know that Miles Garrett, one of the elite pass rushers, maybe the elite pass rusher in the league, depending on who you ask. You know, some people say T.J. Watt, some people say him, some people say Micah Parsons, but the number's pretty darn good.
Any of the three are special.
They are very special. So it looks like, if it's up to him, that the era with the Cleveland Browns and Miles Garrett is coming to an end, which is kind of amazing. Like, you look at that roster, we've talked about it. They've got a pretty darn loaded roster, and he leads the way with the type of player that he is. And the fact that the quarterback play is so bad that it undoes all of that or undoes all that is just kind of amazing here. But we'll see what that looks like. There are some people, Cleveland has put it out there that this doesn't really change their stance and they don't want to trade Miles Garrett. We've heard teams say that before. We'll see what that actually ends up looking like here. But it leads to the question, if Miles Garrett wants out, where's the next stop for him? What's it going to take to go get him? Now, Joe, my initial thought on this is, if he's going to be available via trade, I guess he'll be open to anybody that can pay the price to go get him. But if I'm Miles Garrett, I'm probably not looking at the Tennessee Titans as a preferred destination here. You want to go somewhere where you feel like you can win. What's that going to look like? What's that power? How much power is he going to have in this when it gets down to it? I don't know. But number one, what do you make of Miles Garrett requesting a trade from Cleveland? What do you think it would take to get him if you're the Titans or anywhere else? And do you think the Titans have any shot whatsoever of putting together a package here that could land the services of Miles Garrett?
Well, in his statement, he starts right out with, as a kid, dreaming of the NFL, all I focused on was the ultimate goal, winning the Super Bowl. Then he talks about, I love the Cleveland, Northeast Ohio, blah, blah, stuff. Later, the goal was never to go from Cleveland to Canton. It's always been to compete for and win a Super Bowl. With that in mind, I have requested to be traded from the Cleveland Browns. In other words, this franchise will never win a freaking Super Bowl. I want out.
Yes.
Thanks, though. And Super Bowl. So he's saying, trade me, not just trade me to a contender now, right? Cleveland saying, no, people are reporting no intention to trade Miles Garrett, which of course they say that. I mean, they're not going to say, actually, yeah,
it's open season.
Right. Like, we feel like we have no leverage and we just have to get rid of them. If it happens, they are going to command a gigantic price. And of course, I'll tell you that Lions, Twitter, Lions Nation is all a Twitter about this.
Yes.
And but you can go down the list of any of these teams. I mean, any of these teams that are how many teams that are good wouldn't immediately be way better with him. I mean, they all would be. Some just have more of a need than others. The Lions certainly would be a team in that category. Thing is, Cleveland, if they're going to trade him, trade him whoever the hell they want to trade him to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like it's – he can't, you know, he can't say, no, not the Titans. They're not going to win a Super Bowl ever. So, sorry, Miles. The Titans just gave us – what did the Titans give? What did the Titans give the Browns to get Miles Garrett? Why would the Titans get into the discussion?
This has naturally started the conversation, Joe, of, well, the Titans have the number one overall pick, and you could package – as a part of the move for Cleveland to get up to number one overall, Miles Garrett can be included in that package, and maybe that helps their overall price in the deal. Now, you know, here's the other part of this. Like, how interested in that would you be? Everybody wants Miles Garrett. I understand that. But, like, are you interested in throwing your name in the hat that way to go get him? And, by the way, like, everybody brings up the Miles Garrett and that being used in a package to move up with the Titans. Like, Cleveland's picking at number two. It's not like they're coming up from 8-1 here. So I don't think, like, the trade compensation would not be, I don't think, that big to move up one spot in the NFL draft.
A whole lot more than that.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that qualifies there. I don't really see a way where the Titans are going to be able to pull this off. Like, to me, if you're Cleveland, there's an opportunity here, yes, for a quarterback, right? Like, you got to get a quarterback figured out at some point. Now, having said that, Deshaun Watson is still under contract, and I know he hurt himself again, so he's not going to be playing for you next year.
Tore his Achilles, right?
But the money's still there. So, are you going to go out and go pay for another veteran quarterback? Do you want to take now as the opportunity to go draft another quarterback? And if you don't, like, if you trade away Miles Garrett, do you look at it like, all right, well, the replacement for Miles Garrett's right here in the draft with Abdul Carter? Like, is that your plan now if you're Cleveland? That'd be interesting to see
how
that shakes out.
You might feel fine about just being able to take him where you are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dino Russini had a tweet yesterday. One NFL GM on what a trade for Miles Garrett could look like. Quote, probably a 1+. Can't wait for the it will be 3-1s crowd. Not happening. 1-2, 1-2-3s. Throw a player in there, end quote. Did you see Tannenbaum's?
I did not.
Friend of the show. I tell you what, man. Some of the stuff he comes up with, I'm like, well.
Maybe that's why he's on TV.
a little bit. I may need to find this, but we have to talk about it.
Okay. We'll get into the Mike Tannenbaum perspective on the Miles Garrett trade. And here's the other thing. The production is unbelievable for Miles Garrett, right? Like, he is, you know, one of the three really premier and elite pass rushers in this league. He's also 29. He'll be 30 in December. So how much does that factor into this and the price and all that? We'll get more into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Miles Garrett trade request from the Cleveland Browns. One texter, Joe, says, Raiders should trade Max Crosby, and a second rounder for him. Both won out. Might as well send him to a new bad situation. Max,
you
congratulations. You're going from the Raiders to the Browns. Miles, cheer up, buddy. About to be doing a whole lot of winning there with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, Pete Carroll, man. Pete Carroll might get him going. Tom Brady, who apparently he's just fine, according to Roger Goodell. And just keep, you know, announcing, being a very average announcer in the biggest games and pulling all the strings of the Raiders.
Brady hatred knows
great.
No bounds.
Well, come on. No bounds. Am I wrong?
No, he's not. He's not great.
Yeah,
his first year though, he'll get better.
Well, yeah, he'll get better, and he's doing the Super Bowl Sunday. Great, awesome, good for us.
The weirder thing, like, you know, I understand why he's on the number one team, because he's Tom Brady. I get it. The weirder thing is, like, how are you going to be, like, basically the football czar for the Raiders and then do all this other stuff for Fox? That's the one that gets me, because, you know, Diana Russini has put this out there. Multiple people put this out there. Like, Brady's the one making football decisions right now for the Raiders. So how are you doing that and then, like, calling NFL games at the same time, and it just seems weird to me.
It's very weird. It's just goofy as hell. But of course, Goodell. Oh, no, Tom calls me and makes sure. it just sucks because Fox getting the Super Bowl this year means that the person who, in my opinion, is the best NFL analyst going, who is Greg Olson, should be doing the Super Bowl this year. This would have been his opportunity to do the Super Bowl, and he's not doing the Super Bowl. But Tom Brady, well, I tell you what, that Botox will be just shining when we do the close-up on Sunday. Can't wait. Tom, accept your age, bro.
One texter says, Brady really isn't that bad as a commentator.
I don't think he's bad. I agree. Like, he's gotten better. He's okay. He's like, if we're just going to – if you really, like, scrubbed it and compared everybody, he'd probably be, like, on their third or fourth team, something like that, which is pretty good for your first year, actually.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't know. I don't have optimism that he's – it's very hard to quickly – see things, diagnose things, explain things the way that Greg Olson does. It is a rare skill as an analyst, and he's incredible at it, in my opinion. And I learn things about football when I watch Greg Olson call games, and I hear from Brady, man, with the Patriots, it was so awesome going to the Super Bowl, and we just had awesome time. Thanks, Tom.
I got one text that says, Robbie, are you saying that Brady – is a Brinker. Maybe I am. He's making football decisions.
Oh, he's the Raiders' Brinker.
He's the Brinker. Maybe so. A little bit more yeah. power.
Keys are Brinserker. Yes. There we go. See, get it going. Get it trending.
I got one texter wondering if Myles Garrett can play right tackle. Myles Garrett, in all actuality, might be able to play right tackle better than the right tackle play that they got this past year.
Myles,
we got something for you. We're going to draft Travis Hunter. He's going to play both sides of the football, and so are you. Exactly. That's our plan.
Oh, man. I'd love to see Myles Garrett play a game at right tackle. He'd probably
–
I mean, you know, I don't know if it'd be great in the run game, but his pass pro would be on point.
I agree.
The punch.
I would love to see it happen. Like, it's hard for me to imagine the Titans – ending up with him. How often do like pass rushers like that become available though? In the prime of their career. I said it. He's got four consecutive years of 14 or more sacks. Like, you just don't see these guys come available that often. Now, having said that, Max Crosby, we'll see what happens with him. We all remember Khalil Mack when he got traded. So it does happen from time to time. But like, this guy has been, I mean, he's gonna be a Hall of Fame player one day, and you're talking about a guy that's just wrecking people on a weekly basis. Like, there are guys right now around the league that were tweeting about this yesterday. They were like, please God, don't sign in my division if you're not signing with our team. I do not want to play you twice a year. I mean, he's pretty universally regarded as, at worst, like the second best pass rusher in the league.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting situation. It's a rare situation. You know, and sometimes these things happen and the team says, yeah, appreciate you, but you're under contract. We'll see you at minicamp,
yeah.
And it just passes, and that may happen here. But it just feels like, you know, this is just, I don't know. It just seems like this is probably something that they're going to have to take seriously and do. And I just have to think they're going to get some wild offers. But yeah, Tannenbaum, he had a specific Lions trade. So Myles Garrett to the Lions,
okay.
For Jahmyr Gibbs. Three first-round picks, and yeah. I'll throw in a second round this year, too, or next year, too.
Okay.
Jahmyr Gibbs and three firsts.
I don't think the Lions are going to do that.
I mean, now look, Myles Garrett, you just laid it out. They don't become available, so I get that. But you got to remember, teams are also taking on that money, you know.
Well, and he's 29. Like,
yeah.
That's not nothing.
They're not getting a decade of greatness.
Right.
And they're taking on a big chunk of money. So they're not – I agree with what the GM told Russini. Like, the three first thing, calm down a little bit. Like, I feel like that makes sense. Like, a first, a player, like, a you know, a Gibbs and a first and a second.
Yep.
Okay, fine. Tannenbaum, what are you doing? You're giving it all away, man.
Three first and Jahmyr Gibbs. Gracious. No, like – I'm interested to see like how his age affects the price, because right now like there's no reason to believe that Myles Garrett is slowing down anytime soon, right? Like he's 14 sacks this year. And here's the other thing. This is when you know you're a great pass rusher. Like the game plan for teams heading into the game when they're playing Cleveland defensively is we have to find some way to not let this guy just totally ruin the game. And yet he goes out there and he finds a way on a weekly basis to ruin the game. Like that's how you know you're a great player. So like it's not stopping anytime soon. So I guess you don't really care about the age if you're a team getting him. Like it would be one thing if he was 27, 26, and you are getting, you know, 7-8 years of an elite pass rusher. He's 29. He'll be 30. You know, he had 16 sacks back-to-back seasons in 2021 and 2022. It's been 14 in each of the past 2 years. You know, his rookie year, he came in and had 7, and he's been in double digits every year since then. I mean, the guy is unbelievable.
Yeah. No, he's great. The age thing, too, like from the Titans' perspective. I mean, to me, if you're going to give the world to go get him, it's because this is your window, right? It's not the Titans' window. So right. You're going to give the world to a guy who then you hope that by the time he's 31, you're a contender?
Right. It changes the math on a little bit. And honestly, like, if you're the Titans, depending on how you view quarterback, like if you want to go get a pass rusher, well, you got one that you could draft at number one overall.
Right.
With Abdul Carter.
And pay way less money
Pay way less money to.
And he may never amount to one-fifth of what
he might not.
Garrett is, but yeah, the opportunity is there.
It is.
So but it would be funny to me to see Cleveland deal him to the Titans or the Jags or Panthers or something like that and say, hey, yeah, you said you wanted
you
to be traded, man,
and
they gave
and
us the
are.
Best return. I don't know what to tell you.
A lot of people pointing out that, you know, Keith brought this up first. Grant and Clarksville's brought it up, JD as well. Can you imagine, like, Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph on the same team in the same locker room?
I think they're okay. They're cool with each other now, right?
I think so.
Aren't they cool with each other?
Yeah. Hey, Miles, remember that time you took your helmet off and hit me right in the head with it? It was fun.
Yeah. And the next day, I guess I was filling in for Floyd. Yeah, I was filling in for Floyd here with Jared. And we spent 4 hours talking about that.
Consecutive hours.
How did we spend? And what? I kept saying, Jared, you, any other time? Any stuff? No? Okay, we'll just talk about. So let's review. So he moved his arm really fast and he had the helmet in it. How did we do 4 hours on that?
I don't know, but I remember
it. I'm not going to go back and listen to it, but, like, how?
I don't know.
4 freaking hours. Well, like, Jared acted like it was, like nuclear war had started on the globe.
I mean, that was kind of the start of the beautiful relationship that you two have today. It was doing that show together for 4 hours.
It was. I mean, I came away with a mad respect for his ability to stretch something worth 15 minutes of conversation into 4 hours. It is a rare skill.
Keith asking if the Bills would be a good fit. I mean, him on the Bills.
Yeah,
that's
be
dangerous
bringing.
To think about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about a move that could put you over the top.
Well, look, the Bills, you know, the Bills, like, how many great players they have on their defense? They've been a very good defensive team. Whenever Matt Milano has been available, he's been.
Yeah.
But, like.
You're also talking about a linebacker there. You know?
Yeah. Although, hey, man, like, again, look at, like, Zach Bond with the Eagles and what that has meant for $3 freaking million dollars and what he's been.
I know. A great Fred Warner in San Francisco has been unbelievable.
Look at those Bucs linebackers when they won it all. They were as important, you know? I mean, it's
a little bit different, the Bucs linebackers. I mean, when you get the confidence of destroying the Titans punter, it kind of propels you forward.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the confidence because Brady's your quarterback. Well, it just gives you
that too.
Just gives you extra juice.
It does.
But, no, I mean, the Bills, like, they really needed, you know, and they got Von Miller, and he's passed, you know, and he's given. They need, they got Phillips, but, and the kid, you know, Ed Oliver.
Yes.
You threw in Garrett with those guys?
Pretty nice.
Finally, Chiefs. You're losing finally.
And still find a way to beat them somehow.
Yeah, probably.
It's like, wow, Myles Garrett just got stiff-armed by Patrick Mahomes. How about that? It's unbelievable. Never happened once in his career.
Patrick Mahomes just got him ejected by just stopping and standing on the sideline and letting him take a shot at him.
615-737-1025, our phone number. There is another prominent NFL player that is apparently available via trade. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to that conversation coming up. Robbie and Rex are brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Make sure you check out Smashville Live tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. Brett's player guests are Justin Barron and Nick Blankenberg at tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. So, Joe, we discussed Myles Garrett requesting a trade from Cleveland. Apparently another prominent NFL player that is available via trade. Cooper Kupp of the LA Rams put this out there yesterday. Says, quote, "I was informed that the team will be seeking a trade immediately and will be working with me and my family to find the right place to continue competing for championships. I don't agree with the decision and always believed it was going to begin and end in LA." And then he goes over a lot of words from there. But that's the general gist of the tweet from Cooper Kupp yesterday. So apparently Cooper Kupp available via trade. Going to be interesting to see what happens with Matthew Stafford and the Rams this offseason as well. Cooper Kupp, 31 years old. He's been battling injury the last couple of years. He did play in 12 games this season. He had 67 catches, 710 yards, 6 touchdowns for the Rams. You're talking about in 2021, he had an all-time season. 145 catches, almost 2,000 yards, 16 touchdowns. He was great in that season. And then, since then, it's been basically just injury that's happened with Cooper Kupp. He played 9 games in 2022, 12 games the last 2 years in 23 and 24. So what do you make of Cooper Kupp apparently being available, and what do you think he's still got left in the tank at this point?
Wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Great run, but like when you're talking about when someone was great 3 years ago in this league,
a long time ago,
that's a lot of wear and tear. And I just feel like, yeah, we saw even a little bit this year when he came back, he made some plays. But yeah, I think he's just like a lot of guys in this league. You get to a certain point and it goes downhill fast on you. So great career. It was a thrill to watch him play when he was at his best. Very physical guy and, you know, fast route runner. I mean, big-time playmaker. I think that, like, again, if we're talking from the Titans, could he come somewhere, probably more of a contending-type team, be a veteran guy who could slot in somewhere and still make some plays? Yeah, I'm sure. But the Rams usually have a pretty good feel for, you know, when to sort of pull the plug on things, and I think it's clear that it was coming, and a team like the Titans, I wouldn't have much interest in that at all.
Well, I think it makes much sense if you're the Titans part of this, and based on his statement, I don't think he would consider for 1 second going to the Titans, right? Like, it sounds like the way he made it sound that the Rams are going to work with him to find a trade partner. So yeah. I doubt very seriously he's going to be like, you know, guys, you know where I really want to be? We're competing for a title next year. Tennessee Titans. Let's make it happen.
Maybe he likes country music.
Well, he might. I don't know.
Well, it's funny, too, because you can compare this to just a few years ago when the Rams worked with a really good receiver.
Yep.
And at that time, it was attractive to come to the Titans. Yeah, I'm going to go help out the Titans in Robert Woods. And so they made that happen. And he came here, didn't do much. But now it's like, no, thanks. You know, that's the difference in, you know, the attractiveness of this spot. It's just, it is different, man. It makes a difference. If you have a really bad team, a lot of these guys, of course, they're going to look for the best deal. You know, the Titans got Hopkins. They gave him the best deal. But a lot of these guys, you get to this point in your career, and the money's not all that different in different places. You're chasing a ring. You know, you're chasing a ring. You at least want to be in a winning situation. Losing sucks.
Yeah, it's not fun. And it kind of leads to, I don't think Cooper Kupp is going to be – I don't think the Titans would be interested in him. I don't think he would be interested in the Titans. It does lead to, like, the larger conversation at wide receiver as a whole for the Titans. Like, how active are they going to be in free agency when it comes to wide receiver? We've talked about their needs in the room. Like, they need basically an entirely different wide receiver room. You've got Ridley. We'll see if you come to a deal with NWI. I think you should try. But, look, NWI may look around and say, you know, a lot of losing around here lately. I'd like to go somewhere else. I don't know. I have no idea what his preference is going to be here. We'll see. But let's say for the sake of argument, you get him back. Well, you still need, I think, another young wide receiver somewhere along the way. But like, do you get yourself involved in a T. Higgins discussion if he becomes available and he gets out of Cincinnati? Like, looking around the rest of what could be out there right now, like, there's not a ton that's great as it relates to the wide receiver. Like, what's Amari Cooper going to fetch out there? See, going back to Buffalo, like, what's that look like? Like, Keenan Allen is going to be 33 years old. I don't know that I got a whole lot of time for Keenan Allen. Stephon Diggs with Houston. Like, how are they going to handle that situation?
Every name you say, if anybody's watching, like, my expression is just like a cringe. Like,
it's not a great. It's not a great market.
No, just, and again, it goes fast. And everybody you mentioned, I think, way past their best days. Texture says Kyle Phillips for Cooper Kupp straight up. They're basically the same player, right? Just kidding. I know he's on their team, no longer on the team. Please tell me that no one ever in the history of their life compared Kyle Phillips to Cooper Kupp. Because they're sure white guys?
I think that's what, yeah.
I mean, like, Kyle Phillips is a tiny little slot dude. What are we talking about here? Cooper Kupp's a great player. I mean, he was
love Kyle Phillips.
A great outside receiver.
You're a big Kyle Phillips guy.
Hey, man. Kyle Phillips is one of the great practice players of
our
time. I mean, he really was.
You wouldn't believe what Kyle Phillips is doing out there at camp today.
I swear, he like embarrassed people. But yeah, quick feet and a body that is not meant to be taking the hits that are delivered in this league.
Yeah.
Also, drop punts.
Hey, Brandon Cooks out there too.
Wow,
that changed the game.
All the formerly great receivers. That's the thing, though. It's like, yeah, I mean, the Higgins thing is there. But it is, just like with quarterback and other positions, I mean, they either have to make a serious run at someone, or I really do think, like, they have to maybe sacrifice something else. I mean, you're going to sacrifice something. You're just not going to adequately address everything. But I do feel like receiver is, like, the underrated thing that – you
like,
know,
honestly,
they're going to have a problem if they don't do something.
I can listen if you want to make a push for T. Higgins. I don't love it. Like, I think he's probably going to get overpaid. Like, T. Higgins, I think, is a really, really good player. I don't know that he's, like, a great, elite, number one wide receiver. Like, how much of it with him is he's playing with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase? And the injuries have become a problem with him the last couple of years. So, I don't love the idea of it. But like, if you wanted to say, you know, you're looking at the draft and you know that somewhere along the way, like, you've got to address right tackle, you've got to address edge rusher, you got to find a quarterback. Like, you're just, at the moment, you're not going to have enough to adequately address everything, and wide receiver maybe becomes a casualty of that. So, like, if it gets to the point where T. Higgins is out of there in Cincinnati, do you try to make a serious push for him and maybe overpay? So where at least you look at the wide receiver room and you're like, all right, well, we don't necessarily have great depth and we don't have a young wide receiver to really build around right now, but we do have Calvin Ridley and T. Higgins. Like, that could really help a young quarterback if that's the route you're going.
Yeah. No, I mean, and the thing is, we talk about the tax you pay as a team that's bad and things like that. Is the Callahan thing an edge? Between Callahan and some of these other coaches here who are with him in Cincy, and then also if they can talk him into whatever the quarterback situation might be, then maybe you have a little bit better chance with that than you do with just your average player on the market looking at a 3-14.
Right,
team.
Like, there's a relationship there that I assume Higgins and Callahan have, where at least, you know, it becomes a real, and you know, he's from Tennessee, so there's. It becomes a realistic conversation point there. I still think it's pretty unlikely. Like, you know, if I'm T. Higgins, yeah, the money's really important, and you're going to get a pretty hefty payday going to the market here. You know, factoring into that, like, you want to win as well. And look, it's the NFL, right? So, you know, T. Higgins isn't viewing this through a one-year lens.
Right.
Yeah, things can change with a franchise pretty quickly.
I mean, look, if there's one team out there that just flat-out gives him the best deal, then I don't blame him for taking it. He has years left. And again, in this league, you know, the idea is, okay, well, I'm gonna help them get good, right? Texter says, I can see it now. The Chiefs win a third straight Super Bowl, and then they get Cooper Kupp and Myles Garrett this offseason. Yeah. I will say, if Cooper Kupp went to Kansas City, he'd probably all of a sudden look like 2021 Cooper Kupp. Wouldn't that be fun?
It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for the rest of the league.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel will be with us at 8 o'clock. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I like Let Borgonzi Bake. Let Borgonzi be cool like Fonzie.
Now we're trying a little hard, I think.
Here we go. Let's go. Okay, we can go with Borgonzi Bake. That's fine.
Can they do that? I mean, I guess they can do that. Are they going to do it? Would I have any faith that they would do it? No.
Greg Olsen should be doing the Super Bowl this year. This would have been his opportunity to do the Super Bowl, and he's not doing the Super Bowl. But Tom Brady, I tell you what, that Botox will be just shining when we do the close-up on Sunday. Can't wait. Tom, accept your age, bro.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad, who continues to espouse hatred of Tom Brady on this program.
You guys, look, I know you call me a Brady hater and all that. That's fine.
You are.
No, I'm not a Brady hater. But you tell me, when they close up on Brady, are you not freaked out a little bit?
He's a good-looking man.
Come on, be honest with me.
It's a little – I will say it's a – I don't really think about it until I see videos from him from like 2004 where it looks like a completely different human being.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
Do you know like the hardest people to look at in the world, seriously, are like the people who like – do all the Botox and do the face stretching and do the facelifts and the collagen and like it's hard to look at these people like porcelain dolls and like they're about to smash it a bit. It's unsettling, man. Brady, it's okay. Like, what are we doing here? Are you trying to be a male model?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's part of it.
I mean, how many jobs do you need? All right.
You ever heard of retirement?
But today I actually want to complain about Titans quarterback discourse. It's just going to be a slog here, buddy. So a couple things. One, I'm going to latch on to Kaharsky here with his headline, quote, Titans are going to actually meet Cam Ward before they decide anything. I'm just trying to say that in the tone that I imagine to be. And this relates to, so Pete Thamel had a quote, an ESPN Plus piece that, quote, the building sentiment from scouts and executives this week is Ward is likely to be the number one pick. So, again, people take that as, oh, Titans are taking Ward, yeah. Right? It's like, okay, well, that may be true, but, again, you don't know. Well, the Titans taking him or the Titans trading out. People ran with it, and people are running with everything. And they're running with, TD had a really good story from the Senior Bowl talking to Borgonzi and Callahan and all this stuff, and it spawned, the aggregation headlines. I just love them, of course. And the aggregation headline, to sum it up, there's 20 of them, though.
Yeah.
Basically, oh, Shedeur Sanders and Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Let's make the comparison.
Brian Callahan comparing Shedeur Sanders to Joe Burrow.
Yeah, yes. So let's actually get to the quote. And you know what? If you listen to this quote, you can – this is subjective. You may – read more into it than I do. I know some people, some we work with, who read very much of these. I don't know. I haven't know if Stilley has addressed this, but here's a quote from Callahan.
I'm sure he'll get to it with Mad Dog Russo a little bit later.
Yeah, who is this? It's Shedeur. Yeah. Yeah, it's Shedeur. His dad played, right? He played in the NFL? I think so.
All right. So here's a quote from Callahan in TD's story. Quote, people had questions about Burrow's arm strength in general coming out. One of the things that makes Joe so unique, and I think you can probably put Shedeur in the same conversation, they anticipate when they throw it, they have the timing and action on top of it. That makes up for the arm strength. And he goes on to arm strength. So end quote. Okay, so that's the comparison. So, again, he's saying that, first of all, I don't know. You could actually take that as not a huge endorsement of Shedeur Sanders, right?
He's kind of saying he doesn't have great arm strength.
Right. So, he's saying that, he compensates in the same way. And right. People are, lofty comparison to Joe Burrow. It's just part of all the discourse this time of year. And it's something I complain about a lot, right? I mean, when we talk about perma rants and repeat rants, the aggregation and the overreaction to things that aren't really that interesting are right up there. I did not take this, and again, if you disagree with me, we can have a conversation. I did not take this as Brian Callahan saying he thinks that he's on the level of Joe Burrow. If so, they're absolutely taking Shedeur Sanders number one. 100%, lock it in.
If you believe that he's on the same level as Joe Burrow, then the next quarterback of the Tennessee Titans is going to be Shedeur Sanders,
right,
and you've already figured it out.
He said he shares a trait with Joe Burrow and did not say that he shares it at the same level or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't read a whole lot into that. Like, nobody is mistaking Joe Burrow and Shedeur Sanders as prospects, for much less what Burrow's turned into at the NFL and like what he is in the NFL. Forget that. Like, just his prospects. Like, everybody knew Joe Burrow was going to be picked by Cincinnati, like, before he even got done playing college football. Like, everybody knew it. So, and Brian Callahan has talked about that since then. He's like, we knew pretty early that Joe Burrow was going to be our pick. I don't think the Titans are there yet.
No.
When it comes to Shedeur Sanders.
And they may not get there. And I don't know. I won't speculate, but the interviews are going to happen, and they absolutely matter. I think the interviews, look, the film is the most important thing. It's number one. Always will be. But with quarterback in particular, you're talking about the person who's going to lead, you know, your franchise and has to deal with so many things, not just the locker room and the guys and the playbook and all that stuff, but just so many distractions, so many outside things. It makes it's just a different deal. And so those interviews, and I know that they met Shedeur at the East-West Shrine, right, had a little bit of time with him, but there's going to be that's right. There's going to be a lot more to come in that regard, and so it would make no sense unless it's a slam dunk, unless it is a Burrow, where it's like, unless this kid comes in and basically makes fart noises with his armpits, we're going to draft him, right? And steals and takes all the sun chips, we're going to draft him. I think right now it's probably more like, blow me away with this interview. And let's maybe you think about it a little bit differently. So the idea that there's any absolute resolution, I think, is pretty silly right now.
But this is what the NFL has turned into. Like, it's a year-round thing now, and from now until April, everything that somebody – look, the betting odds for Will Levis to become the number one overall pick a couple years ago went up because somebody threw something up on Reddit.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we're at with this NFL draft discussion right now. So I say that to say, buckle up over the next couple of months here, because this won't be the last time that stupid stuff like this gets just thrown around out there.
In the meantime, we have one football game left. One football game.
Not me. Not watching. Not doing it.
Well, that's right. So you're done. You're done with football.
Yeah, I'm done.
When are you guys leaving?
Sunday.
You're leaving on that day?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, that must hurt to not have any football left.
I'm cool. Look, this is
college hoops, man. College hoops season.
What else could we need? Speaking of, we'll get to some of that coming up next. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us here on Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.